Welcome to the Wisdom for Life podcast with David Baker. David was a former paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division and for over 30 years has been a preacher. He has written 5 books and is an Amazon number one best-selling author. He is the chaplain at the county jail, pastors a church, and is the father of 11 children. Yes, 11. This podcast is here to give you wisdom for your family, your marriage, your children, your finances, your health, and your life. And now, the host of Wisdom of Life podcast, David Baker.
All right. Hey, hello and welcome. Welcome to the Wisdom for Life podcast. I have a special edition one today. If you saw the title, usually it's Wisdom for Life or Wisdom for Children or Wisdom for Family. We've done Wisdom for Finance, Wisdom for Our Country. We've done Wisdom for Health. But how about this one? Wisdom for Love. Wisdom for Love. It's a special one today, and there is a reason why, because today, the 20th of April, is my wife's birthday. And so today, my wife turns, are you ready? Are you going to tell? Absolutely, I'm going to tell. 56 years old. My wife turns 56 years old today. And she is much older than I am, as I'm sure you can tell. Okay, not really. She's 9 months older, but I let her know it all now, those 9 months. So, yes, I married an older woman, a cougar. Yeah, just after these young kids. So anyway, it's a special one for today. And by the way, April 20th, my wife shares a birthday with, are you ready? Adolf Hitler. Pastor, you are so mean. I know. Literally, if you look it up, April 20th is Adolf Hitler's birthday. So I joke with my wife that my wife was born on Hitler's birthday and I was born on D.L. Moody's birthday, who was a great preacher who had over 1 million people saved in his lifetime. So pretty neat. Anyway, so we're going to jump right in. If you do have a question, ask pastorbaker@gmail.com. We'll be glad to do that. All right, learn you something. My wife is an English major, a secondary education major, teaching field in English technical. So I'll give this one for her. Do you know the longest word in the English language with only one vowel? Okay, with only one vowel. Now, if it's a Russian word with no vowels, it can be 26 letters. what is the longest word in the English language with only one vowel? Okay, Strynx, S-T-R-E-N-G-T-H-S. Give me an E. There's only one of them and no other vowel. So if you're playing Wordle or Scrabble or Wheel of Fortune, whatever, you're not going to get very much with vowels on that one. So just one E, that's all. It's Guinness, the longest word with one vowel. All right, we got a joke. Since I'm talking about my wife, we have a couple's joke, okay? So here we go. A husband and his wife are getting ready for bed. The wife is standing in front of a full-length mirror, taking a hard look at herself. You know, dear, she says, I look in the mirror, I see an old woman. My face is all wrinkled. My hair is gray. My shoulders are hunched over. I've got fat legs. My arms are all flabby. She turns to her husband and says, tell me something positive about me to make me feel better about myself. He studied hard and thinking for a moment, then he says in a soft and thoughtful voice, well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight. Is that horrible? Is that bad? That is so mean. I can't believe some man would say it. I can't believe someone would even tell that joke. I mean, that is just bad. But hey, copy it. Tell it to somebody else. Enjoy it. It's fun. Yes, I've told my wife that. Not because she needs it, but it because she likes a good laugh. All right. Things I love. Here it is. You want to take a guess what today's is? I love my wife. In a little over a month, we'll be married 32 years. 32 years of marriage. Is it possible to love someone more and more with time when you've been together that long? Yes, absolutely. We're not empty nesters yet. Our youngest is 13, okay? But very easily, we could have only 3 in the house in some months. Only 3. When you've had 11, that's pretty much empty nest. The longer we're together, the more I love my wife. I told her the other day just how much more that I love her and how much closer I feel and the bond and connection. And I think it can be that way. Things I love, my wife. Things I hate. Sometimes I pick a theme, you know, love and hate the same thing and pull things out of it. So I can't say about my wife. I love her. I'm a mother-in-law. I can't even say that about my mother-in-law. I had a good mother-in-law, and she's in heaven now, so I can't say anything about it. So here we go. The first week since we started this, no hate. Here we go. No hate. No hate this week. Nothing on things that I hate. All right, a quote. Last week we did a Helen Keller one. We'll do another one. It said, "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart." Thought that's pretty good. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. I like that. All right. The Bible trivia. Last week's was too easy. This one is also. How many people did Jesus feed with the 5 loaves and 2 fish? 5,000. 5,000. Now there's another one where it's 4, but it was 7 loaves and 3 and a few fishes. Okay, so 5,000. And next week it is, after Jesus was arrested, which disciple, which apostle disowned Jesus 3 times, denied him 3 times? Real tough ones. Are you ready? You think you handle it? Think you got it? All right. So the lesson, what are we going to talk about? I'm just going to talk about my wife. Okay, talk about my wife. You're going to have to hear me do that. And I think you'll learn something. I think it'll be a blessing and a help to you. My wife is Laura June Middleton Baker. Her parents were Middletons and from Ohio. And Victor and June Middleton, dear people, good mom and dad. 14 kids she had. My wife had 13 brothers and sisters. She was number 8 of 14. Pretty amazing. And we met in Bible college. The first semester I went to college, I said, I'm not going to date anybody or look at anybody because I came out of the world and my mind is messed up and my heart is messed up. I got to get them cleaned up because they were dirty. And after the semester of Bible and prayer and getting rid of the junk out of my life, the music, the world, the entertainment, all of it, it's amazing how clean my mind felt and life felt. And I said, God, I think I'm ready to find the one. If whenever you feel I'm ready, you bring it to me. I don't want to date for play or for fun. God, I want to find the one you want me to spend the rest of my life with. The next day, I'm walking down the hallway and I see a young lady and I smiled and she smiled. That was it. That was it. Love at first sight? I don't know if you can call it love. I didn't even know her. But there was something special there. On the inside of my heart, not audible, I heard God say, that's her. What? That's her. I stopped. I turned around. I didn't know who she was. I didn't have to run and talk to her and say, hey, God just told me I'm going to be your husband. No, I didn't do that. What do you do? What do you say? Well, logical wisdom. Okay, so I found out who she was. I talked to people who knew her. I got some counsel advice from a teacher and finally got the nerve to ask her out. And boy, it was tough. I was nervous. Every other girl I'd ever dated, I always found out through the friends that she liked me. So no guy wants to get shut down. So that's a safe bet. You go out with a girl that you already know likes you. But I didn't know. She didn't tell anybody. Took a risk and I found out that whole first semester she had been watching me. And already had an attraction. So we had our first date and then our second. And we dated about 1.5 years and we're married. And it's been a wonderful 32 years. My wife is incredible. Incredible. Almost don't want to tell you because you may try to steal her. You may think I'm making this stuff up. She plays the piano beautifully. She teaches piano lessons and helps out our finances. She can sew anything. She made me a suit, like a men's dress suit when we got married. She made me a suit. Had a little label inside, made with love from Laura. Amazing. Made me a suit. She can fix anything, sewing. She can create anything. She is a seamstress. She'll do those side jobs and taking dresses and fixing them and pay well to do that. My wife is a calligraphist. She has the best handwriting you've ever seen. She is a perfect calligraphist. you've seen some people try the calligraphy pen and just like, okay, that doesn't look good. My wife's looks like it came off a computer. She can do gigantic signs. She can do small things. She has all the nibs to be able to do them and the wire brushes as they're called and dipped in the ink. And she's amazing. She's done that for work and for pay. I always told her, if something happened to me, you'd make more money just not having to put up with me. All the things she knows how to do and how talented and gifted she is. She sings. She can sing parts. She's a natural alto, but can sing whatever she needs to. She toured for the college for 2 years and traveled around the country and sang in a ladies group. She sang on at least 5 or 6 different CDs that we've made and put together. She is an amazing lady. She's an amazing mom to our 11 children. Amazing. To be able to cook and clean and take care of. My boys have said to their other brothers, guys, sorry, we're probably not ever going to find anybody like mom. you know, the old phrase, I want to marry daddy when I grow up. The boys, I want to marry mommy when I grow up. Sorry, there's probably not one going to be out there. Now, I have 3 daughter-in-laws, and they are all wonderful, and they're great wives to my boys. But they have a special mom, a special, special lady. She is the hardest working person I've ever seen and met in my life from morning till night. If she sits down, my kids say, Mom, are you okay? Why? Because you're sitting down. Because she's always go, go, go. There's always so much to do. And you could come by our house anytime, any day of the week, any time of the day and week, and any time of the day or the week, and the house is going to look good. It's going to look good. Now, if people are coming over, we got to make it look perfect. You can stop in any time and it looks good. She keeps a great house and she cooks great meals. And the laundry and the clothes and all the things she does, just constantly going and going and going. She's a great mom. But most of all, to me, she's a great wife. She loves me. She has put up with me. If you listen to a few of this podcast, you would have to agree. That guy's got to be a handful. That guy, boy, to put up with him. My wife has been amazing. When I went to her and said after college, I believe God wants us to be in California, the youth director. Let's go. And we went. When we came back, I think God wants us to start a church in Columbia, Tennessee. So let's go. No matter what we've gone through, she's been there through it. The church, losing a church building, tough. House foreclosed on, tough. She's always there. She's always there. Never have to wonder. Never have to doubt the faithfulness and commitment of my wife. What a wonderful thing. And Proverbs 31 woman, I think one of the best things it says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her that he shall have no need of spoil. When you can trust your wife to know that everything's going to be okay, whether it's the budget, the finances, the life, the family, everything that needs to be done. We have people over all the time, and we love it, and we enjoy it. We love fellowship. The other night, we had a family with 11 children over. Not our 11, another family with 11 children. So they're just getting ready, and the food, and preparation, and the cleanup, and all that stuff. And never complain. Never complain. Want to serve and want to help. And she is an amazing lady. When we met and started dating, and this is a little personal, but I just want you to see the spirituality of this wife that I have. When we started dating and it seemed like there was a good connection there, in the first few weeks, I felt like I needed to tell her about my past. I had hinted about it, but we didn't go into it. And so one day I told her, I said, Laura, I need to tell you, and I've mentioned I've got a bad past. And with us starting to date, I feel like you need to know. So I want you to pray about it and get counsel and see if you want to know. If you want to know, I'll tell you. I won't keep anything from you. If you don't want to know and that's in the past, that's fine too, but I feel like it's your choice. You need to make that decision. She prayed about it and came back and the next day said, well, I prayed about it and whatever happened in the past is in the past. I'm like, good, okay, great. But then she said, but I feel like if I don't know, I'll always wonder. Okay. All right, here we go. So I told her about my past and my indiscretions and my alcohol and drugs and one night in jail and women. Now, you got to understand, I'm telling this to a lady, never tasted alcohol, never smoked a cigarette, never done any drugs, never. And, are you ready? I'm the only guy she ever kissed. She was pure on her wedding night. She never kissed a guy. We met, she was 22 years old. And she was going to save everything for her husband. And I had gotten away from God and messed up some years of my life. And I'm telling this lady this. And here's her statement. Are you ready? What's she going to say? No way. Get out of my life. I'm not marrying someone like you. Her statement was, you know, it might be partly my fault. What? We didn't even know each other. How could it be partly your fault? She said, when I was a teenager, we had a really good youth director and pastor, and they taught us to pray for our future spouse. Pray that God would keep him pure. Pray that God would keep him safe. Pray that God would keep him away and out of sin. That seemed so far away, I really didn't take it seriously and didn't pray that. I wonder if I would have prayed that more, if God would have protected you from those things. Are you shaking your head? I was. I just told her of the horrible, rotten, wicked, sinful things I did. And my wife said, it's partly my fault. I should have prayed for you more. I'm sorry. I don't make many women like that. I don't know of many. I just want to spend this podcast on my wife's birthday, as she turns 56 years old, and to say thank you for my wonderful, amazing, and beautiful wife. I don't know how at 56, she keeps getting prettier, especially when she's had 11 children. When I tell people my wife's had 11 children, in their mind, they have a picture of what she must look like. And then they see pictures of my wife. That's your wife? She had 11 kids? Gave birth to every one of them. Wow. That's what I say. Wow. And she loves me and takes care of me. And in every way, and I'll just say that. What a wonderful wife. I wish and hope and pray that every person could have that kind of marriage, could have that kind of relationship, and that every man could find that kind of a woman. It's a blessing. So, hey, young people, if you're listening, wait, pray, find the right one, get close to God. Why in the world would you get someone like that? Yeah, I ask that question often. But I've taught this for a long time. God says, or not God says, but there is a sowing and reaping. God says, we're going to reap what we sow. And I'm living proof of it. If you get right with God and get close to God and get your purity, where you're going to live pure from now on, it's amazing how God can give us someone just amazing and out of our dreams. I never thought that I would be able to marry someone like that. But God in his mercy did. I love my wife and thank God for our 32 years of marriage, our 33 and a half years together, our 11 children, 8 grandchildren so far. And I look forward to growing old with her as we get to love each other and love and help people. Hey, God bless you. Have a great week. Get wisdom. It's a principal thing. And be kind to everyone because everyone's having a tough time. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Wisdom for Life podcast. If you have any questions for us, email us at askpastorbaker@gmail.com and we will answer them in an upcoming podcast. The email is askpastorbaker@gmail.com.